Yamuna tira vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kanja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kanja Vihari Jaya Gopi Janavala Bhagiri Varadhari Jaya Gopi Janavala Bhagiri Varadhari Jayam Vishnupad Gurumahamsa Parivrayak Acharya Satara Sattva Sri Srimad His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskam Bibiti Founder Acharya His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gantaras Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Gaura Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga Please mute your cell phones before the class starts. Put them on vibration or turn them off. Thank you. I'll start with mine. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devin Sarasvatim Vyasam Tachodayan Uthirayet Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 3, Text 31 Vishwam yadita satano nishante Yatavakasham purusha parobhavam Vivarti soyam mama garbhago bhud Aho nilokasya vidanvanam hitat Vishwam yadita svatano nishante Yatavakasham purusha parobhavam Vivarti soyan mama garbhago bhud Aho nilokasya vidanvanam hitat Vishwam yadetat satano nishante Yatavakasham purusha parobhavan Vivarti soyan mama garbhago bhud Aho nilokasya vidanvanam hitat ladies. Shanti Tat Sat Anon Shanti Itabaka Shankurusha Parobhavan Vivati Soyam Amar Gabagogu Aho Nirokasya Vigambana Yaitat containing all moving and non-moving creations. Satano, within your body. Nishante, at the time of devastation. Yata avakasham, shelter in your body without difficulty. Purushaha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Paraha, transcendental. Bhavan, your lordship. Vivarti, keep. Saha, that Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am this form. Mama, my. Garbhagaha, came within my womb. Abhut, it so happened. Aho, alas, Nirlokasya, within this material world of living entities. Vidanvanam, it is impossible to think of. He, indeed, that kind of conception. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. At the time of devastation, the entire cosmos containing all created, moving, and non-moving entities enters your transcendental body and is held there without difficulty. But now this transcendental form has taken birth from my womb. People will not be able to believe this, and I shall become an object of ridicule. Purport. As explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, loving service to the Personality of Godhead is of two different kinds. Aishwaryapurna, full of opulence, and Aishwarya Shitila, without opulence. Real love of Godhead begins with Aishwarya Shitila, simply on the basis of pure love. Together, Premam Jana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti Yam syama sundaram achintya guna sarupam Govinda madhi purusham tamaham bhajami. Pure devotees whose eyes are anointed with the ointment of prema, love, want to see the Supreme Personality of God, the syama sundar, Muralidhar, with a flute swaying in his two hands, just like Krishna right now. This is the form available to the inhabitants of Vrindavan, who are all in love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Shyama Sundar, not as Lord Vishnu Narayan, who is worshipping Vaikuntha, where the devotees admire his opulence. Although Devaki is not on the Vrindavan platform, she is near the Vrindavan platform. On the Vrindavan platform, the mother of Krishna is Mother Yashoda, and on the Mathura and Dwarka platform, the mother of Krishna is Devaki. In Mathura and Dwarka, the love for the Lord is mixed with appreciation of his opulence. But in Vrindavan, the opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not exhibited. There are five stages of love in service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead: Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. Devaki is on the platform of Vatsalya. She wanted to deal with her eternal son, Krishna, in that stage of love. And therefore she wanted the Supreme Personality of Godhead to withdraw his opulent form of Vishnu. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur illuminates this fact very clearly in his explanation of this verse. Bhakti, Bhagavan, and Bhakta do not belong to this material world. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Mamchayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samati jaitan brahma bhujaya kalpate. Quote, one who engages in the spiritual activities of unalloyed devotional service immediately transcends the modes of material nature and is elevated to the spiritual platform, unquote. From the very beginning of one's transactions in bhakti, one is situated on the transcendental platform. Vasudeva and Devaki, therefore, being situated in a completely pure devotional state, are beyond this material world and are not subject to material fear. In the transcendental world, however, because of pure devotion, there is a similar conception of fear, which is due to intense love. As is stated in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktyamang Abhijanati Jalanjaschasmi Tattvataha. And as confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhaktyaham Ekaya Grahya. Without bhakti, one cannot understand the spiritual situation of the Lord. Bhakti may be considered in three stages, called Guni Bhuta, Prathani Bhuta, and Kevala. And according to these stages, there are three divisions, which are called Jnana, Jnanamayi, and Rati, or Prema. That is, simple knowledge, love mixed with knowledge, and pure love. By simple knowledge, one can perceive transcendental bliss without variety. This perception is called manabhuti. When one comes to the stage of jnanamayi, one realizes the transcendental opulences of the personality of God. But when one reaches pure love, one realizes the transcendental form of the Lord as Lord Krishna or Lord Ram. This is what is wanted, especially in Madhurya Rasa. One becomes attached to the personality of Godhead, Sri Vigraha Nishtha Rupadi. Then loving transactions between the Lord and the devotee begin. The special significance of Krishna's bearing a flute in his hands in Vrajabhumi Vrindavan is described as Madhuri Virajati. The form of the Lord with the flute in his hands is most attractive, and the one who is most sublimely attracted is Srimati Radharani, Radhika. She enjoys supremely blissful association with Krishna. Sometimes people cannot understand why Radhika's name is not mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, however, Radhika can be understood from the word Aradhana, which indicates that she enjoys the highest loving affairs with Krishna. Not wanting to be ridiculed for having given birth to Vishnu, Devaki wanted Krishna with his two hands, and therefore she requested the Lord to change his form. Omaginati mirandasya agranam janashalakaya shakshuru militam jena tasmai sri gurave namah. Panchakalpaturivyascha kripasindhuvyaiva chapatitanam pavanivyo vaishnavyo namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is one of those slokas that you can spend days and days talking about. There's so much revelation being given by Srila Prabhupada here. And he opens the purport by talking about Acharya Purna and Acharya Shitila. Of course, when Prabhupada says that Acharya Shitila, when he quotes the Chaitanya Charitamrita of Acharya Shitila, when that's translated as displays of Krishna's, the Krishna's opulences are not displayed or they are concealed. It is not that in Vrindavan there is no opulence. That's not the case, because we have plenty of evidence from the scriptures. Chindamani prakara satmasu kalpavriksha. Lakshavrite Suj Suravira Vipalayantam. Lord Brahma is saying that when he had a first glance of the transcendental realm of Gokula, he actually saw great opulence. Chintamani Prakara Satmasu. What he saw is that all of the manifestations of trees, he saw gems, he saw the houses built with spiritual gems. He saw great opulence. But what happens, this Aishwarya Purna, which is displayed in the Vaikuntha region of the Lord's abode, is more astounding. It is more variegated, just like when we going to read further in this canto of the Bhagavatam, we're going to find the descriptions of Dwarkapuri or even Mathurapuri, the great opulence that the Lord displayed in those regions, which are similar to the opulence that Lord Vishnu displays in the Vaikuntha planets. So it is not that we should think that in Vrindavan there's no wealth. And in fact, when we say that there is no opulence in Vrindavan, what we mean to say is that there is no display of wealth, or that is so concealed by Krishna that the devotees are simply absorbed in admiring Krishna. What happens in Vaikuntha is that the display of wealth is so astounding that the devotees get appreciative of that opulence of the Lord. It is not that it's a distraction, because they can see that the opulence is related to Lord Vishnu, but like Prabhupada explains in the purport here, is a different kind of love. It's all based on love. In fact, Krishna is known as Bhagavan, which means that he possesses all opulences. And there are certain opulences that are prominent, as fame and beauty, knowledge and wisdom, renunciation, fame. Knowledge and wisdom, renunciation, fame, and the devotees are therefore appreciating always these opulences of the Lord. This is a natural thing to do for all living beings, for all conscious living beings. We're always astounded by the opulence of others. I mean, even in the animal kingdom, actually. In fact, the Lord Mahatma Gandhi is very well known in the world. And why? Because he had that, not only was he a political thinker, but also he was a renunciant. And so he had that impact on people's minds. So similarly, these rasas, these relationships, these emotions that the devotees have with Krishna are in that same mood. Naturally, when you come in the presence of Lord Krishna, you're going to be astounded, first of all, by the presence of the Lord, and then by the manifestations of his opulence. You're going to be astounded. In fact, that's what makes Krishna attractive. That's what makes Krishna Krishna, because he's got all these opulences. And all these Jivan Muktas, these liberated souls, whether in Vaikuntha, Mathura, Dwarka, or Vrindavan, they're always appreciating the Lord and his opulence. Now, we should not think that that because in Vrindavan, Krishna is not displaying all his opulence, that Vrindavan is a lesser region in the world, or because in Vaikuntha, who is manifested rather than Krishna, that is a secondary, you know, in importance. Actually, that's not the case, because Krishna is enjoying all these rasas according to the moods of the devotees. There is no lesser or higher hierarchical realm in the transcendental world. It's all transcendentally blissful. In fact, this is explained also in the Brahma Samhita. There's a verse there that says, Evam yatirmayo devo sadananda paratvaraha atmaramasya tasyasti prakritya na samagama. It is said that Krishna, the form of Krishna, Shyama Sundar, is actually the embodiment of eternal ecstasies. That's the word ananda, sadananda. Sadananda means eternal bliss, eternal ecstasies. In other words, there is no time in Krishna is not enjoying ecstasies. That's not, there is no such a thing that Krishna is not enjoying. So that sadananda element in Krishna's existence indicates that the devotees in Vrindavan, the devotees in Mathura or Dwarka, or the devotees in Vaikuntha, and even the devotees in the so-called material world, once we have awakened this relationship with Krishna, that enjoyment of rasa takes place. As Prabhupada explains in this purport here, that bhakta, bhakti, and Bhagavan do not belong to this material world. So when we reestablish and reawaken our transcendental love for Krishna, even though we may be in this material world, some others may say we are in this material world, but in that transaction of love, the material world has no jurisdiction anymore. The material world disappears. So we should understand that all these premas, I mean all these rasas, and in particular in this verse the Prabhupada quotes it, premam jana churito bhakti vilochanena, that in the Krishna consciousness movement we have the aim of spreading the glories of Krishna, Shyama Sundar, Krishna, holding his flute in his two hands. We naturally also speak of Lord Vishnu. The Bhagavatam is replete of stories and pastimes about Lord Vishnu, and we address them, we talk about them. But the aim of this Krishna consciousness movement is to actually reveal Krishna to the world. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his preface to the Brahma Samhita, explains that because we are so ignorant in this material world, we both, you know, philosophers, scientists, great thinkers in society throughout history, somehow or other they have this misconception that God has to be formless, that the origin of everything is some void. It's very nihilistic understanding of the world. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, when you actually bring Krishna to their eyes, this beautiful form of Sakshidananda Vigraha, Ishvara Paramakrishna Sakshidananda Vigraha, this personification of eternal existence, this personification of complete knowledge, and this personification of bliss or eternal ecstasies. When you say, no, this is God, this is Krishna, God is not a void. God is not in a nihilistic. There is no such a thing as nihilistic source of anything. Nothing. Nothingness cannot create somethingness. Somethingness must come from somethingness. From nothingness, nothing comes. That's the understanding of the Vaishnavas. So all this variegated display of Krishna's emotions, these rasas, are executed within the transcendental understanding of bhakti. We cannot understand Krishna without devotion, without love. and we cannot understand Krishna without service. In reality, the measure of one's own spiritual love for Krishna is how much service we are doing. What are we doing for Krishna today? What are we doing for Krishna tomorrow? And what are we going to do for Krishna the rest of our lives? So in that measure, as we dedicate our thoughts, karmana manasa vacha, our words, our actions for the service of Krishna, in that measure, Shyamasundara Krishna will reveal himself. Because granted, we all have the presence of God in our hearts, even the atheist, even the most wretched living entity has got Paramatma in his heart, the super soul, accompanying that soul. But to get Shyamasundara Krishna captured within our hearts, we had to work for that. That is called devotional service. And Prabhupada explains here that nobody can understand God, nobody can understand Krishna without devotion, without love, devotional service. So this Krishna consciousness movement, for example, is spreading the practice of devotional service, sadhana bhakti. Many of us think that, I've been in this movement for so long that I can take a vacation, I can take a break, and go do my own thing. Many of us may think like that. But in reality, it's just the other way around. I mean, look at Prabhupada. When Prabhupada took his retirement, that's when he actually began to preach, full-fledged. And Prabhupada ended his retirement while preaching. And between retiring and ended the retirement, Prabhupada was preaching. So, that is pure devotion, because it's natural. When one realizes Krishna, Shyamasundara, within one's heart, you can't stop it, but it overflows. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that these emotions for Krishna are so overwhelming that eventually you just can't stop it. It starts pouring out of your heart. That's what happened with these great acharyas, these great writers, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, and all these great devotees. They are great devotees because they can't help it. They can't help it. Their hearts are so overflowing with love of Godhead that they just give it away. And even in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for example, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Supreme Personality of God in himself, he couldn't contain himself. We see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how his behavior is narrated, that he, in the eyes of the regular people, Lord Chaitanya looked like a crazy man. Because he kept talking about Krishna, chanting on Krishna, crying for Krishna, chanting the holy name of Krishna, everything was Krishna. So at that stage is that, Prabhupada explains here, that's when loving transactions begin to take place. And so this puts us in a situation in which we can tell ourselves how much are we longing for Krishna. How much are we getting this prema, this taste of prema? Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. How much our eyes and our minds and our intellect, our senses, how much our lives are being percolated with this Krishna consciousness? How much are we getting soaked in Krishna consciousness? That's the mood in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, there is nothing but Krishna. Everything is related to Krishna and Vrindavan. The cowherd boys, they want to hang around Krishna. The gopis, they want to hang around Krishna. The elder gopis, they want to see Krishna doing his leelas. The elderly members of the community in Vrindavan, they always want to see about Krishna. Everybody is into Krishna in Vrindavan. That is the mood. Now, of course, in Mathura and in Dwarka, Krishna engages in different pastimes, slightly different, but the same loving transactions are taking place. The same love is being displayed. You know, it's kind of very interesting to know that even though with the Bhagavatam, for example, right now it's speaking from the standpoint of the devotees. We just completed reading the prayers of Vasudeva, and now we are reading the prayers of Devaki. But we are not being told the emotions of Krishna. We're just being told the emotions of Vasudeva and the emotions of Devaki. But in reality, because love cannot happen by itself, by just one person, love always happens between two persons, at least. So in this case, the loving emotions that are being displayed by Devaki and by Vasudeva are correspondingly being enjoyed by Krishna. In other words, it is not that Devaki here, out of fear, out of material fear, she is asking the Lord to disappear, but it's rather out of pure devotional, pure love in the form of fear. In fact, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is explained that all the emotions that we go through in this material world, even when we are conditioned, these are actually perverted reflections of the emotions experienced in the transcendental world. So, fear in this material world, which is caused by many factors, in reality, that fear is a perverted reflection of the fear of love in the transcendental world. So when we experience fear in this material world, we should understand that it actually is a perverted feeling that in reality is it should be experienced between the person and Krishna. And that is the case because the soul, eternally, we are Sakshidananda, just like Krishna. We are separated parts and parcels of Krishna, and therefore we have the same attributes of Krishna, even though not in the same quantity. Prabhupada explains this all the time. That Krishna is Sakshidananda unlimitedly. We are Sakshidananda in a minute form, the living entities, the jiva tattvas. So we are also enjoying those things. And in the material world, because we have separated our life from Krishna, these Sakshidananda attributes are being displayed among conditioned living entities. So the fear of losing your loved one, the fear of losing your power, the fear of losing your opulence, these are all perverted reflections of fear of love in the rasas of the transcendental world. All these rasas that we have, husband, wife, conjugal love, parental love, loving friendship, servitorship, and even just admiring, which is called shanta. Shanta ras, for example, when you just admire some opulence from someone, that's called shanta. But when you make friends, that's called sakya. And sooner or later, you're the son of someone, you're the daughter of someone, so you have that vatsalya. And eventually, if you're not a brahmachari for life, nashtrika brahmachari, you will experience conjugal love. But all of these types of love in the material world are perverted reflections of these transcendental emotions that take place between the soul and Krishna. And so one way of looking at these relationships in our own lives, if you can dovetail them to Krishna, then these relationships acquire meaning. Because without dovetailing to Krishna, these relationships end up in failure. I mean, we don't even have to talk about that. That's happening all the time. Sooner or later, you will lose your loved one. Sooner or later, you will lose a friend. Sooner or later you will lose a daughter or your son or your parents. Sooner or later these rasas are being interrupted, are ended. But in the transcendental world these rasas are ever increasing. Krishna, because he is unlimited in his enjoyments, he ever increases his enjoyment. There is no time in Krishna is not enjoying. Krishna is always enjoying, has always been enjoying. Because there are always countless living entities Jivamuktas, liberated souls who are loving Krishna. That is the case. And the inconceivable part of this whole thing is that Krishna is enjoying the Shantarasa, the Dasya Rasa, the Vatsalya, and the Madhurya at the same time from all his living, from all his loving devotees. So the aim of the Krishna consciousness movement, and specifically the aim of this 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, is to give us a taste for which we should be hankering. Srila Prabhupada explains that when you have gone through the first 9 cantos of the Bhagavatam, when you have hanging there, you know, gone through the first to the 9th, all that is done is to convince you that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But once you enter the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, you are so convinced of the fact that Krishna is the Supreme Lord that now you're ready to actually develop a relationship with Krishna. So the studying of the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam is an impetus for each and every one of us to develop a particular hankering for a particular form of the Lord. This is also explained by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Instruction. I need a nectar of devotion. That we, as practitioners of this Krishna consciousness way of life, we should come to a point in which we hang on to a particular lila of the Lord, and we want to develop the same attributes and qualities of those devotees, those eternal living jivamuktas, those eternal living entities that are already engaged in that specific particular lila with the Lord. And so, that is the whole purpose of the 10th canto. What is it that we... I did a survey a little bit prior to this class. I was asking the devotees, what is it that it most astonishes you about Krishna? What is it that impresses you most about Krishna? And they took a pause and said, well, everything. Which in reality it is. All the opulence of the Lord are so attractive that you can't really pick saying, oh, well, I like this more than that. Yet, we have to develop a taste for a particular lila with the Lord. And that is called samadhi. We have to do this sooner or later. We already went through the first 9 cantos. Now we are convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now is the time to love Krishna in the 10th canto. Any comments or questions? Yes, Mataji.
I wanted you to comment further on fear, mm-hmm. that it's existing in the spiritual world, but my question is, when you experience fear here in the material world, how is one supposed to experience emotion here in the material world? It's like you may know that it's temporary. You may know that it's not an eternal emotion. You may know you're not the body. You may know the whole circumstances right. is Maya, and yet the emotions are very powerful. And I think what's been happened in the past is because of immature spiritual realization, devotees have tended to not express their emotions or mm-hmm. allow themselves to feel their emotions and just say, well, we're not the body, we're not, you know, we're not these emotions, and then just negate them or not act on them or not deal with them. And if you could comment more about how to as a liberated soul experiencing situations in this world, how do you, you know, when those emotions arise, what do you deal? How do you allow yourself or deal with
yeah.
those?
This is very important. A classical example of, in the Bhagavatam stories, the classical examples of people who refrain their emotions are the yogis. And in fact, in the early days of the Krishna consciousness movement, you, as a brahmachari, for example, you grew up as a brahmachari, you were not, you're supposed to be emotionless. So, and if you ever express any emotion, you were considered, you know, like fallen or something. But in reality, we cannot deny our humanity. And in fact, the more we spend our life in practicing Krishna consciousness, the more you realize that what we are doing in this material world is all these emotions, all these relationships, all these experiences that we are going through, they're actually, we are meant to do this with Krishna. And so in the, for someone who is seriously practicing Krishna consciousness, you have to dovetail these experiences. You see, in French there is a word, vivance. I don't have to say it in English. The word vivance, it means like, you these are things you have to go through. And for example, when you are in a fearful situation, for whatever reason it may be, you're a devotee of Krishna. You've been born as a devotee of Krishna, been born in a family of devotee of Krishna, or you've been in Krishna consciousness for so long, and still you're experiencing this fear. So even though, like you're saying, technically you know this is not real, technically you know you're not the body, but you still have to go through the experience. But at least if you have the knowledge, you can withstand the trauma of these experiences. In the material world, people who do not know about rasas, they experience real fear. I mean, fear itself. But once you have this understanding that Krishna is actually, like at one time I remember when my father passed away, one time I was driving back home from work, and it had been like a couple of weeks since my father passed away. And I didn't have a great relationship with my father most of my life, but the last couple of years when he was sick, we kind of reconnected. And so we used to call each other every weekend, every other weekend, and talk. But so when he passed away, you know, and when I went to the funeral and everything, I wasn't expressing any emotions. But it hit me 2 weeks after. So I was driving once, and I felt this emotion that I could not explain, and I began to cry while driving. And I'm thinking, why am I crying? And then I start digging backwards, and then I started realizing that it was that thing, that I had lost my father. And then I'm thinking, but why should I be crying anyway if I know that the soul is eternal? Then I connected that to the fact that actually Krishna also cries for his father. When Krishna was fighting some of the demons, I forgot who was, I think it was Shalva. Shalva created an illusory Vasudev. And he cut off the head of Vasudev, for this illusory, and Krishna got traumatized, isn't it? So for a few seconds, Krishna got traumatized. So all these emotions that we experience in the material world are actually first experienced by Krishna. It's only when Krishna experiences this emotion that we can experience them in the material world. And so you, even though you have to live through this experience, bad experience, seemingly bad experience, at the end, when it ends, you got to do a hindsight understanding of it. And this is the way you grow in Krishna consciousness. This is the only way, because if you don't tie it to Krishna's rasas, if you don't tie it to Krishna consciousness, then you're going to tie it to your own misunderstandings of the world. And so it is very crucial that we should understand that in reality the practice of Krishna consciousness is not that we should become emotionless or people without feelings. I mean, look at it. The only way we're going to conquer this world with Krishna consciousness is by proving to people that our own lives are so molded in Krishna consciousness. It's so full of love. If there is no love, who wants to come here? And this is, it would be another place like in the material world. In the material world, people are lacking love so much, and yet they are hankering for love. Everything they do, everything they planning to do, everything that they have done in the past, it's all on the basis of finding that love. But that love can only be satisfied in relationship to the supreme love of all, and that is Krishna. That's Krishna Shyama Sundar. And so how do we display this love? First of all, among ourselves. How much are we loving each other? How much are we respecting each other? This is what attracts people, actually. It's like one time Vridayananda Maharaj was saying that the peculiar activity in the transcendental world is that everyone is serving everybody else. Everybody is so hankering to do some serving for someone else. Imagine that. Imagine that we turn this Alacha County into Vaikuntha place. So everybody will want to come here and say, "Why? What is that place?" You know, it's, everybody's loving each other nicely, and they have this Krishna there. And it's all about love. It's not that when we become practitioners of Krishna consciousness, when we become celibate, when we become tapasuins, when we become austere, we gotta get rid of love. It's the other way around. When we become austere, we become austere, according to Srila Rupa Goswami, only in activities that are not conducive to Krishna. The whole teaching of Upadhi Samrita Sindhu, the Upadhi Samrita, is that we become, the austerities that we perform is actually giving up sinful activities. That's the austerity for someone who is conditioned. But once you have given up these austerities, you actually realize, wow, that was nothing. So then the rasas begin to take place in one's life. Any other questions, comments? Well, thank you kindly. Hare Krishna.